Hey, everybody. Welcome to Just for Variety. Today is September 28th, 2021. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. On today's episode, I'm chatting with Ben Whishaw. The English actor is best known for playing Q in the James Bond franchise, co-starring opposite Emily Blunt in the Mary Poppins remake, and his Emmy-winning work in the limited series A Very English Scandal. He's also the voice of Paddington in the two adorable Paddington movies. Whishaw can now be seen in Surge, a psychological thriller in which he plays Joseph, an airport security screener who becomes unhinged and goes on a sometimes bloody crime spree throughout London. Whishaw also plays Q for the fifth time in the latest James Bond film, No Time to Die. He insists he doesn't know if he'll be back now that Daniel Craig is hanging up his 007 hat. Besides, Whishaw tells me, he thinks it's time for a radical overhaul of the James Bond franchise. But before we get to my chat with Whishaw, let's take a look inside this week's Variety. It's finally here. The Academy Museum of Motion Pictures will open its doors to the public on September 30th. I attended a press preview of the museum just a few days before a star-studded crowd turned out for its opening gala on Saturday night. The gala included Lady Gaga performing a surprise jazz concert before an audience that included Nicole Kidman, Spike Lee, Regina Hall, Angela Bassett, Tom Hanks, Sophia Loren, Ava DuVernay, Laura Dern, Sarah Paulson, Meg Ryan, and more. Check out Variety's red carpet photo gallery from the gala online and in the magazine. Welcome back to Just for Variety. In Surge, directed by Anil Kharia, Ben Whishaw stars as Joseph, an airport security screener who has some sort of mental break and goes on a crime spree throughout London. There's very little dialogue in the film except for a few scenes with Joseph and his parents, as well as his co-workers. Here, Whishaw talks about why the lack of dialogue was freeing and how he helped create Joseph's backstory. I caught up with Whishaw from London.
Let's talk about this new movie of yours.
Yes.
It was, let me say, what's the word I think I was describing to someone? It stressed me the fuck out. in a great way, because Joseph, what an amazing character to tackle. How do you even begin? You know, what my first question for you on my list was, do you create a backstory for Joseph to get into whatever that mindset is?
Yeah, we did. We did, me and the director, Anil Kharia. But it mainly consisted of just me asking Anil questions, because Anil really had this guy very clearly in his mind. So I just asked, I remember just sitting down with him for an afternoon and asking him loads and loads of questions, really quite mundane ones often, you know, about like where he went to school and whether he'd had a girlfriend and stuff like that. And he just gave me this picture of this person. Me and Anil had made this short film called Beat. I don't know, like 7 years maybe before we made Surge. And the experience of making that, the character in that is not a million miles away from Joseph and Serge. So we already had the bit of a language around this character and what it was that we were interested in exploring through him. So we did create a backstory, but somehow also it was quite instinctive or something, quite intuitive, like, and based on something that we've both felt, but I can't quite explain. I think it's something to do with knowing sometimes in yourself how close you feel to an edge of not being able to function anymore, as the world requires you to function and just be, you know. And I mean, I think that's something that everybody feels, but it's not something that we generally talk about. There's not really a lot of room to discuss it, and maybe it's a frightening thing to discuss. But this is very much a character who lets the mask completely drop, or has no choice but to, you know, it's kind of bulldozed down by something from within.
Mm-hmm. What, I mean, is it, and I don't know even if there's an answer here, but is it mental illness? Is it just a break? Is it, what's the...
Yeah.
I think it would be easy for people to say, oh, he's just crazy. But sort of to your point, what you were just talking about, you know, this, it seemed like a break. There seemed like something obviously led up to that. Like what you said, you were asking the mundane questions, like, did he have a girlfriend? What school did he go to? All those, I think those little mundane questions are leading up to these moments.
Yes. Totally. I think, what's interesting is that, you learn something about a person through those questions and through those mundane things. But they don't give you the full story, because it's about someone's inner world, I suppose. Mm. And that's always private and hidden. And, I think it was, I suppose whatever it is he's going through, it's someone who's sort of giving themselves completely over to having this kind of experience. He's not trying to put the brakes on. No. He's just letting himself free fall in a way. And we were quite careful not to get too hit up in discussing discussing the character in terms of if you were to diagnose him with a mental illness. We didn't ever do that, because I think that it's in a sense too easy to do that as a way to sort of distance yourself, and anyway it doesn't matter, because it doesn't help you, it doesn't help me as the actor understand him. I didn't know ever from one moment to the next whether he was willing something to happen, or whether he was in the grip of something that was taking him over. And I always quite liked that there was both of those things happening at the same time, if that makes any sense.
When you look at a script for a movie like this, what is the script? Jost doesn't say much. There's obviously the scenes with his parents, some of the coworkers, but so much of the movie, it's almost like, I don't want to say reality TV, that's not the right phrase, but it's a
viewer
that's just following him. And it's obviously his facial expression, Joseph's facial expressions, his tics, his mannerisms are saying so much more than you didn't need dialogue. So what happened?
Yeah.
What do you see on page? What does it say on the script?
Well, that's really interesting you ask that, because it was a really beautiful script to read. It was really beautifully written by Rita Kellenhez, I'm not sure how you say her name, and Rupert. It was a beautiful thing to read. And because they filled in a lot of the, Rupert Jones, sorry, that was the other writer, Rupert Jones and Rita Kellenhez. They filled in a lot of the space, you know, with small details that we sometimes didn't adhere to precisely, but they gave you a feeling of what it should be. And Yeah, it was funny because I was sort of involved. I mean, I didn't write it by any means, but Anil would send me drafts of the script. And whenever it became too explicit or too explanatory or too traditionally a thriller in any way, something we both agreed, like something, it lost something. So I really loved that what we arrived at was quite spare and quite simple. I mean, it's extremely simple in a way, but also quite mysterious at the same time. And it was something in that kind of somewhere in there that we felt like the film was. And I think a lot of it came out. I think, to be honest, it's quite a personal film for Anil. I'm not saying that he's done anything like what this character does, but I think it came out of very personal experiences for him. So, somehow I trusted Anil always that he would lead me in the right direction.
What is there when you have a character like that where, again, there's not much dialogue, is there a freedom in that? Or is it also really scary because we have to, as the audience, we have to either find or try to guess what the motivation is, what's driving him, where so much, you know, in a so-called traditional film, yeah, hear that in the dialogue. But here, you know, one of my favorite moments when Joseph sleeps with his coworker and he's walking down the street afterwards and he feels like a stud. And what I felt in that scene, I got a moment of Saturday Night Fever. Is walking with the paint can, you know,
that's so funny.
Iconic shot. That's the moment that I got, but you didn't say anything. It was all, is there a freedom in that? Or is it scary that you have to really sort of show in every.
I found it freeing personally, because I think sometimes actors and filmmakers, in my experience, you can feel a bit like you can feel a bit tied down to the words on the page. Like that's all there is to the scene. And one of my best friends, who's the most beautiful actor, an actor called Adam Godley, mm-hmm, beautiful actor. I remember him always saying to me, he always said to me, oh, the words just float on top. And I think what he meant by that is that there's always, the words are not like, the words are just kind of the end of the scene, you know.
It's all about what.
They're not really the most important thing.
It's what leads up to the words.
It's what leads up to the words. Yeah. So it was nice to just be able to focus on like the big stuff that's underneath the words, the kind of primal, like you've just described, the primal feelings, without having to. It meant that it was not a very analytical process. It was quite instinctive, which I love.
It's really beautiful work. I went into the movie not knowing much about it at all. And like I said, I was watching it. I was like, oh my God, I'm so stressed. I'm so stressed. But then, you know, what's beautiful also about it is there are moments I was kind of cheering him on.
Yeah.
You know, you fall for this character and you don't want to see bad things happening, even though he's doing really bad things.
Yeah.
Like there was a moment where I was like, he just wants some freedom. He just, if every, it, like, I'm not an actor, so I don't know how to talk the actor talk, but it's like you want him to like get all of that out of his system, and then I feel like he's going to be okay. But obviously, you know, the police are after him.
Yeah, no, but I think that's really I love that you say that. I love what you just said. I think I have to say, from my perspective, from being in playing the character, mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be okay too. I think at the end he's really okay. Actually, he's more than okay. He's great. Yeah. As he's experiencing himself, he's happy. He's kind of at peace.
Right.
And we might not feel like that as a viewer watching him and concerned for him, maybe, or just by that point, maybe completely frustrated by him. I mean, I think it's a film that I feel very fine that this film will be divisive and will be, I think that's essential. You know, it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea. Some people don't want to be in that company, don't want to be in that kind of energy. And I understand that. But some people, it will tap into maybe something that they feel. And anyway, it's important, don't you think, that we have films that do that.
Right now, we're going to take a short break, but when we return, Wishaw talks the new James Bond film, No Time to Die. Plus, he gives us an update on the third Paddington movie. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Just for Variety. In No Time to Die, Ben Whishaw plays Q for the fifth time. Here, the actor weighs in on the future of the James Bond franchise.
So now let's talk about another film. It's small indie you're in. James Bond, it's finally coming out. How happy are you about that?
I'm really happy. I'm really happy that they held their guns and didn't release it on, I don't know, some streaming thing.
Why do you say that?
Well, I just think, I mean, I'm happy for any film that gets a release at the cinema, but I think particularly something like this, it's not meant to be watched at home. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, there's just something about the scale, the majesty, the whole experience of it. It's cinematic,
right?
I don't want them, I love going to the cinema. I don't want the cinemas to close, and I don't want people keep talking about how everyone's attention span is fracturing, and like, you know, people can't watch anything for more than 10 minutes.
Right.
And I think that's really dangerous. And I think there's something about, you know, deciding to go see a film and surrendering to watching it for 2 hours or 2 hours 45 in this case. that's really, I don't know, important, but also good, you know, good for people. And to be with other people watching a film.
So is this the end of your James Bond career, or you don't know?
I really don't know. I've no idea. Truly no idea. I know that I was like contracted to do three.
Right.
But I don't know who makes the decision. Or I really don't know what happens. Don't know.
People are way above my pay grade, that's for sure. you know, one of the things that was making the rounds the other day was watching Daniel Craig do his final scene as James Bond, and it was so emotional. What was it like for you, you know, your last days working with Daniel Craig, knowing that this was it for him for 007?
I'm a bit embarrassed to admit. I got really emotional. Mm. I didn't think it would, I totally didn't expect to, but I found it really upsetting.
Mm.
Also, yeah, didn't realize how attached I had become to the whole thing, and how important it had been to me to do those films with Daniel. It was quite sad. It was really quite sad. But I don't know. I hope the film's good, and I hope that people like it. And who knows where it will go next, and blah, blah, blah.
You said you got emotional and you were a little embarrassed by it, how emotional you got. Why be embarrassed? I mean, it's that's a moment.
Oh, I don't know. I think I didn't expect to. Yeah. I didn't see it coming. I didn't feel it coming, but then you know how sometimes that happens. But then
when you think about the continuation of James Bond, do you see, you know, I know there's a lot of talk, will there be a female James Bond? Will there be a black James Bond? Will there be a gay James Bond? Do you think James Bond, the world of James Bond, can have those different variations of James Bond, or is it these are just, those would have to be different characters?
Personally, I just feel like there's been 25 films. It's not like people are starved of seeing that kind of iteration of the character. And I think if they want to continue with this character in the franchise, I think you can explode it and do anything, personally.
Yeah.
I don't know what that should be, but... but it seems to me like it should be something quite radical, something really different. It's got to change. It's got to keep changing.
Mm.
We're in different times now.
Right.
But yeah. We'll see. I suppose that there will always be people who want it to stick to the way it was whenever ago, you know. But and they're important because they love these films. But I just think you can do both. You can honor the character and the tradition, and you can push it forward too. And I think you have to, if it's not just going to become a kind of museum piece. Yeah.
Then I have to ask you about another iconic character that you play, Paddington. Paddington 3, what is happening?
I'm really actually not sure about that either. I think they've got a new director, because I think that everyone was concerned because Paul King, who directed the first two, was such an amazing director, amazing man. At first I couldn't really imagine doing it with anyone else, but apparently this new director, Dougal, is incredible, and actually lots of people keep telling me how marvelous he is. I haven't met him yet, and I don't think there's a script yet, but it is due to happen next year at some point, so yeah.
Well, man, this is wonderful. I'm glad we got to catch up, even if it's, you know, on my little laptop and you're in a bed.
Oh, it's really nice to see you. Yeah.
And congratulations on, you know, obviously there's James Bond, but, you know, Joseph is such an intense character.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time, Mark, and getting up early.
Ben, thank you again.
Thank you, Mark.
And have a great time at the premiere next week.
Bless you. Thank you so much. Take care. I'll see you soon.
That was Ben Whishaw. Surge is in theaters and available on demand now. No Time to Die will be in theaters on October 8th. Thanks for listening to this week's Just for Variety. Coming up next time, Noomi Rapace talking about her new horror film, Lamb. Until then, don't forget to follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Mark Malkin. For all your up-to-the-minute Hollywood news, go to Variety.com. See you next time.